Hi, this is Mike Swanson of Wall Street Window, and I got Dave Skarica with me. The Dow is down 63 points. We're talking about 3 o'clock on Friday. Hopefully it can go up a little.
It's a good day.
Yeah, compared to some of the days that we've seen. You know, what's your take on the market?
Well, there's some interesting things that have all changed here, and in my opinion. And it's not just, oh, maybe we're in a bear market and the market is going down. And that sort of thing. See, there was one thing that you made a comment of that I'll admit that I disagreed with you a bit a few months ago. Remember when the U.S. markets outperformed for a few months?
Sure.
Made the comment, and a lot of people were making this comment, it looked like maybe 98 or 97 when the U.S. would kind of outperform. I've never really thought that on this part of the cycle. I thought that the emerging markets were underperforming just because they went up so fast and they needed to consolidate. One shift that we've seen here, if you look at other than China, and I think the Chinese market, the SEC, is a terrible market because foreigners can't buy it. So there's really not a liquidity. It's a very thin market that's traded only by Chinese. I actually think Hong Kong is a much better representation of the Chinese economy if you want to look at a market. And if you look at markets like Hong Kong and like India and like Brazil, you'll see that they're not breaking their lows on this most recent move. So I think that maybe we're seeing this shift back to where these emerging economies are starting to outperform. Now, unfortunately, if the U.S. market were to move significantly lower, like the S&P were to go to 800 or something, they're going to fall too. But I think you might see them hold up better. Because like in India, they're raising rates because there's inflation and the economy so strong.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Right now, I'm surprised that the market has fallen as much as it has. But we are at, I think, a level of support above 1,000 on the S&P 500. It's the point of the lower 200-day Bollinger Band, which is very tough for market just to go straight through that without, you know, having a good rally for a couple weeks first, or a bounce, I should say. But I do think, to me, it looks like we're in a bear market. And one thing that's happened, which I think is worth taking note of, and most people won't do it, is it's changing. You know, last year you could make money by buying dips after the March bottom, and that's basically what I did. And in February, we had a correction then, and I bought almost on the exact low, and I sold out a little bit early, and then I got out. I was in cash, so the market topped in April. And I didn't really try to buy in on that day the Dow fell 1,000 points.
Well, it was almost impossible. You were here that day.
And, yeah. Like, trading. But a lot of people were buying the days that followed. I was getting feedback from a lot of my members who were angry at me for not telling them to buy then. And then the market ended up turning lower. And I bought then on that next down, that next lower leg in this correction, and I got in at a good price only to get stopped out I think at the end of June, and now of course, you know, we're breaking down and falling again. The point I'm trying to make is that you could buy dips in the past and make good money, but now even if you get a good entry point, it's very difficult to make money in this market. And I think that's a sign that
I have a bit of a counter argument to that. Now, if you're in a 2008 period, everything crashes. There's no doubt about that, right? But I think you have to be much more selective. Like, I don't think people can just go buy the SSO and buy dips. Yeah, you're going to lose money, especially if it is a bear market. But I have two stocks that I bought like at that same period that you're talking about, late May, early June. One of the stocks I'm actually still up 15% on. And the other stock I'm up about 5 or 6% on. So what I'm saying is, I think if you're very selective and you are a good stock picker, you can still make money buying these dips, but you really have to be safe about buying the correct equities and sectors. And just so you know, these two stocks I'm talking about, they're not even gold stocks. There's something completely unrelated to that. And I guess same thing. If you would have bought gold stocks at the dip in May, by the way, even with the recent pullback in gold stocks, you'd be up about 7% right now. So I think if it's the bear kind of bear market, I think, like, and I don't think it's a crash like 2008. I think it's more like the 1977 bear market or the bear market of the early 40s or something along those lines. The kind of I guess you could say, like kind of a slower grinding bear market, which happened in those time periods. You'll have certain stocks and sectors which outperform. If you think it's a total crash, yeah, everything's going to fall. But I think what I'm saying is you can still make money, but you have to be very selective. My opinion is I'm not really a great trader of the macro market anyhow, so I'm not really interested in trading that way, like buying the S&P on dips or something. I think you really have to watch the kind of stocks that you're buying. That's my own personal opinion. And like I said, one argument I'm making right now is that the emerging markets look like they're starting to hold up now, as opposed to earlier in the year when they looked like they were maybe underperforming a bit.
Well, I think whatever someone decides to do, they need to use stop loss orders in a market like this, and they have to cut their losses.
Because I think that I agree with. Because even these two companies that I've talked about that outperformed, I'm using stop losses at their lows in May. So if the market really does fall apart and everything tanks, I'll be stopped out flat, and it's really not that big of a deal. So I do agree with you, you know. And if you are going to do something, be very disciplined and don't buy strength and don't sell weakness. You know, if you want a short, sell the rally. If you want to buy, wait for declines like we saw in May or like declines we saw now. Like you said, you got stopped out and it was at virtually no to a minimal loss because you were patient enough to wait. Like I have people now right now who there's a newsletter writer I know, for example, he just told all his subscribers to short yesterday and today. And I think that's ludicrous because you're doing it probably at a short-term bottom of a market.
No, I mean, I've made a lot of money shorting in the past two bear markets. I've got a lot of experience doing it, and that's the last thing I would do right now. You know, if you want to try to short the market, you've got to wait for it to rally for a couple weeks at this point. Because what happens in a market like this, saying just assuming it's a bear market, when rallies happen in bear markets, they're even faster than the rallies that occur in bull markets.
Yeah, yeah.
So you just, you know, you if you...
Just like drops in bull markets are sometimes faster than the drops in bear markets.
Right.
Yeah.
So, or they last a lot quicker. Yeah. But the problem is what tends to happen, you know, from what I've seen in the past with the subscribers I have and just reading stuff on the internet, is that most people can't do that or they don't know to do that. So if they start getting bearish on the market, they'll do it after the market drops for a whole lot. Then they'll start trying to short stuff. Then they get squeezed. And then when people go long, they also tend to not, you know, time it the way you're saying and be able to get in at an important low point. Instead, they'll see the Dow up, you know, 300 or 400 points in a day, and then they'll buy and maybe it'll go up a week or two more if they're lucky, but they're at a bad entry point and they end up, you know, if they usually don't cut their losses, things turn back down, they just hold, and next thing you know, they're writing things down. That's the thing. You don't want to be in a position where the market's down a whole lot and you're just holding and hoping.
Here's the perfect example of that. If you had bought at the bottom of the decline after 9/11, you've been buying roughly the Dow was in the low 8,000s. Now, it eventually went to the low 7,000s, another 1,000-point lower in 2002 at the bottom. But if you had held for 2 or 3 or 4 years, you'd end up making good money in that trade. You know, the Dow went over to 14,000 by 2007. And that was the example. You were patient. You didn't get the exact bottom, but you bought the dip. Whereas, say you bought the top of that rally after 2001, you would have been buying at like 11,000 on the Dow, and it would have taken you a lot longer to make your money back. So sometimes I always say it's not important. It's just as important of what you buy as when you buy.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so that's what we're just talking about with timing. And, you know, you used to call your website Timing Wall Street, and there's a reason for that that people don't realize is that, you know, you can never get the exact bottom or tops of any of these things. But if you're just patient enough, you can, you know, wait for these declines to occur to buy something you like, or wait for these rallies to occur to short something you like. And just for like an outlook, say the next 3 to 6 months, we've both talked about maybe, I guess, the most bullish argument. This could be like 2004, where the market would decline. And all of the declines, and it happened three or four times in 2004, the market went a few percent lower. And then eventually that correction ended and the market went higher. Now, the market is a bit weaker than it was in terms of the percentage loss this time. But again, the entire thing is seasonally, if you believe in the seasonalities, and I somewhat do believe in it, you're not in the time frame to buy right now either. What would probably happen, even if it was just a correction like 2004, you'd probably rally here in July and August, fall back again into the fall, and that would be the bottom of the move. So even if you're looking at bull, I just don't think now would be, other than a very short-term trade, now would be a great time to buy.
Well, that's one thing about the market now, too, is, you know, my experience has been these last two bear markets, and then the bull market before that and in between. And every market is a little bit different. For example, those last two bear markets, you had a sharp break in the market, and then it came back. And then it would, you know, took some time to finally roll over and really start to drop. For example, 2000 took all summer, and in 2007, you know,
there was a topping period.
Yeah, there's a long topping period. Well, this thing here has just suddenly broke, and we really haven't had a great rally at all, you know, since it's broken down like this. I mean, it's fallen, you know, a good percentage already.
To me, that's the only bullish argument, is that that's what corrections sometimes can look like. They're just very short and sharp like that. But that's the only bullish argument you'll have. I think the real problem here is, you know, and I don't know how bearish you are if you do think it's a bear market, but my opinion is, I saw Bill Fleckenstein, and he was a guy who, you know, shorted all the tech stocks in the late 90s, and he shorted the banking stocks and real estate, and he did quite well in his hedge fund, and he closed it up. And he basically said that he thought we were in a long-term trading range between, say, 900 and 1200 or whatever, 900, 1100, 800, 1100. And I kind of agree with that, that I think the big bust period of 2008, where these banks were blowing up and everything was blowing up, is over. And you can even see the commentaries, people are more worried about the economy's not recovering and we're seeing a downturn and that sort of thing, right, in the market. And I kind of agree with him that even if you are a bear, that your probably downside is, like, you know, another 15-20% from here. And then we'll rally back up and see another rallying up and down. And if you look at these post-bubble periods like Japan, that's kind of what it looks like. It's just, it's not, everyone's looking for this big trend to start, and it doesn't really. It's just up and down and up and kind of trendless.
Well, I mean, for the time being, I think, you know, the trend is down. I mean, of course, we'll get a rally at some point, but to break the downtrend, the market will have to go above now the high of June, which is near these long-term 150 and 200-day moving averages. So until the market can get above those moving averages and stay there for a few weeks, in my view, it's a bear market, and just, you know, have to decide.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. I just think the one thing you need to see here is, and there's a definite, now there's a definite downtrend line because of that rally in June, and that downtrend line is about where the 150-day moving average is, at about 1100 to 1120. And you're right. Until you go up above that, you're definitely in a correction. I want to see what some of these sentiment indicators look like. Again, I'm not as much as into the school of Weinstein as you are. I think one reason I bought at the March lows last year is I kind of ignored all that stuff. I just said, the sentiment's terrible, this is it, right? And so the one thing I really want to see is, if on this coming rally, the sentiment again gets quite positive, that's really negative in my view. I want to see the thing, to the extent where people aren't that positive on the market on the rally, or maybe on this decline, we see the investors' intelligence numbers show more bears than bulls or something like that. So that's why I want to see the sentiment really shift. Until that sentiment doesn't shift, you're right. You have to say that we're in a declining market. I think you can't fight that. And, you know, some of the stuff is negative, technically, like the 50-day cross, the 150-day to the downside. I find that's an indicator that works about half the time. But again, you don't want to be on the wrong end of that when it does work. And then you know, the 150 days kind of topped out and looks like it might start to slope down.
Yeah, with regards to the sentiment, I like to look at the Investors Intelligence Survey, and it's starting to show some changes where there's more bears, of course, increasing, and some of the bulls are dropping, but it's not yet
at extremes. At, I agree, that's part of the problem.
And we'll probably, it's not even at the level it was last July, but, you know, I think, you know, eventually we'll get there, and that's certainly going to be something that we need to keep an eye out every single week.
And I think if we look at another short-term indicator is if the market finishes down today on the Friday that we're speaking, one indicator I really like, I've talked about it with you a few times, is the number of stocks trading above the 20-day moving average and on the S&P 500. And that is going to, that's about 6%. It got down on Thursday, or sorry, on Wednesday, got down to about 4%. And the market finishes day today back in the 3-4% range. And that's like the March 2009, late 2008, and even the levels we saw in late May. And, you know, those were all followed by nice little rallies. So again, it's not like I'm saying, you know, we're going to go gangbusters, but in the short term, it should mean that we get a nice little rally, you know? So.
Well, we're certainly due for one, that's for sure.
Oh, I'm with you that even, you know, we were both, the way we were talking last time we spoke, because we were kind of looking for a topping process, maybe, that we'd see a nice rally back to 1,200. And I think, you know, even though, like I have to say, that the stocks I picked are up a little bit, and the gold stocks have held in pretty good, other than the decline just the other day, we've both been shocked about how basically a week the market's been.
Well, hopefully by the time we get together again and do an interview, it'll be up by then. But thanks for taking the time to talk to everybody.
Well, everyone have a nice July 4th weekend. And actually, the way things have been, I'm kind of happy Monday the markets are closed.
You know? We'll talk to you later.
Talk to you later.